Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Y'all just look like you need a joke this morning. You need a joke? I mean, you ought to be happy. You're here. You're alive. It's not raining. It's air conditioned. Someone's watching your children. There was a nun who would travel around, and she had a ministry where she would work with her sick people from her parish. And so she was traveling one day, making her rounds, and ran out of gas. Fortunately, she was just a couple of blocks from a gas station. So she walked down to the gas station, walked in, said, "Hey, I've run out of gas. Can I borrow a gas can? I'll fill it up, and I'll come and fill the car up." And attendant said, "Sister, I am so sorry. The guy just borrowed my only gas can just a few minutes ago." Said, "So you got to find something else to put the gas in." So she went back to her car, and she rummaged around in there, and she found a clean bedpan. Do you know what a bedpan is? Okay, good. I don't know if the first service understood this, but she found a clean bedpan, and she walked back, she put gas in the bedpan, and she carried it back and began to pour it into the gas into her car's gas tank. About that time, a police officer pulled up, and he watched her. And finally, he just watched her pour that gas from the bedpan. He rolled his window down. He said, "Sister, I don't think it's going to work, but I sure do admire your faith." Y'all didn't like that one? I'm sorry. That's it, guys. That's it. This morning, I want to talk about a subject that's really something that we all deal with. And I really believe the message is a message of hope for people. And last year, in a number of years, the American Psychiatric Association has done a poll. What they found in 2024 was that 43% of Americans that they polled were more anxious in 2024 than they were in 2023. And when they did it was 43%. In 2023, the number was 37%. 2022, it was 32%. So they're finding that anxiety is on the rise. Google keeps a lot. You do know Google keeps data on us, don't you? They keep data on us, and what they've found is there's a word that has been trending upward for the past 5 years. On the Google search platform, the word hope has been trending up for the past 5 years. Now, what Google finds out is that when the nation goes through a crisis, like in 2008, the word prayer was the most Googled word. In 2020, it was faith, as we realized nobody knew what in the world they were doing. And so faith became the Googled word. And what they're finding is that usually when the nation responds in a crisis, but what the concern is that this is not responding to a crisis. This has been a pattern for the last 5 years. The author who was writing and discussing the story said that when the world seems to lose its meaning and spins out of control, people start looking for meaning. And so they're looking for hope. This morning, I got hope for you. As we talk about answering anxiety. Last week we did handling hurts. This week is answering anxiety. Now, I didn't realize it, but there is a difference between anxiety and fear. Now, they are the Siamese twins of trouble. They are connected. But anxiety is seen as defined as a response to an unknown threat, whereas fear is a response to a known threat. Let me explain. About 6 years ago, Joy and I did a complete remodel of the inside of our house. We hadn't done it for 19 years. We remodeled everything, so we had to get out. We had to move. And we were staying in our mom's house for a bit. And one day, it was in March, I was up here at the church, and Joy stepped out the back porch to let our dog out, and she stepped right over a copperhead that was a big copperhead that was raised up right between her legs. She just started going, no, 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 and she stepped back. And then Boudreaux, the wonder poodle, decides he's going to investigate. And Joy said, she reminds me of this constantly, I saved your dog's life, because she reached down. She said, my face was not far from that snake. And she pulled the dog up. Her response, because she took off around the house, that's fear, a response to a known threat. So she went around the house, went through the gate, came through the front door. When she came through the front door, she realized that she had left the back door open where the snake was. And when she went to see where the snake was, there was no snake there. So we didn't know if the snake was in the yard or in the house. That is anxiety. It is a response to an unknown, something that is unknown. Let me tell you something. That will rule and ruin your life. Because if you don't know if there's a snake in the house, a copperhead, a big one in the house, you just don't get up at night to go to the bathroom. You either wait or you get your phone and you put that flashlight on and you are walking like this around the house. Anxiety, an unknown. And no, but people say, okay, well, Alan, am I in anxiety or am I in fear? They're all fear related. But here's the good news. God doesn't want you living dominated by anxiety or fear. That's not what he wants. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, if you look all through the scriptures, you know, one of the things that God is always telling his people is fear not. Don't be afraid. And so we aren't wired for fear. But look at this verse here, and I like this. This is one of my favorite Psalms, Psalms 34. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. So fear is something that God delivers us from, not something he puts on us, or not something we have to live with for the rest of our lives. He delivers me from all my fears. Here's another one. You say, well, what about being anxious? I'm glad you asked. Here's a great verse right here. Be anxious for... But in everything, prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. If you know the rest of that is, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. That's a great verse. But what it's saying is the Lord doesn't want us living in anxiety and living in fear. Now, I know every time I say that, people will rise up and they're like, no, Alan, you don't understand. You don't understand my situation. No, listen, I want you to stay with me for a little bit because I do understand your situation, but I do understand this. If you think you're destined to live in anxiety and fear for the rest of your life, you won't even resist it. But if you can believe that God doesn't want you living like that, then it gives you the basis, the foundation to come against it and not be dominated by it. Because I'll tell you something about fear. One thing that Scripture says about fear is fear has torment. And it will mess with you. There was a man in the Bible who faced an extremely difficult situation. But he had an answer for it. It's an encounter he had with Jesus. We'll read it here, Mark 5th chapter. Now when Jesus had crossed over again by the boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him and he was by the sea. Behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live. So Jesus went with him and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. I want you to catch this story. Jesus gets out of the boat and there's a man named Jairus had a daughter that was at the point of death. His daughter was dying, and Jairus left his daughter's side and went to find Jesus. He went to seek Jesus. You can imagine him sitting in the room with his little daughter, and he's holding her hand, and the doctors have done everything they could do, and she's dying. And someone comes and sticks his head in the room and said, Jairus, Jesus just showed up on the shore. Jairus looks at his wife and goes, darling, I'm going to go. I'm going to bring Jesus. I'm going to bring him back. So Jairus goes. Now, he's a ruler of the synagogue. He's a big man. Jesus has got a throng around him. And the only reason that Jairus got to him, because when Jairus showed up, the seas parted. Because people recognized, as the ruler of the synagogue, this man had a lot of power. But when he found Jesus, Jesus didn't come to him. He went to Jesus. But when he found him, the Bible said he fell at his feet. Now, why in the world would even the scriptures even tell us that? He fell at his feet. Why is that important? It's important because many of the religious leaders had rejected Jesus, but by Jairus falling at his feet, he's acknowledging, you are greater than I am. You are greater than this situation. And he humbled himself and came right to Jesus' feet and fell right down. Publicly, everyone saw it. And he told Jesus, so he expressed a confidence in Jesus. He said, if you'll just come and lay your hands on my daughter, she'll be well, and she will live. Now, you say, well, you know, that's, no, listen. He gave Jesus something to work with. He said, Jesus, you just come lay your hands on her, she will be well, and she will live. He had a confidence in Jesus that enabled him to leave his daughter and leave his family and come right there, and Jesus went with him. I mean, this guy, he's believing something. He's believing Jesus is the answer here. Well, after he believes that Jesus is the answer, Jesus got sidetracked by a lady who came and received healing. And Jesus never seemed like he was in a hurry. He just talked to the lady. And if you're Jairus, don't you think you're like, you're doing this? You're like, oh, come on. And then it got worse. And Jairus had to make the choice to stay with Jesus. See what happened. While Jesus was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter's dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult. That's a whole lot of people making a whole lot of noise. And those who wept and wailed loudly. And when he came in, he said to them, why make this commotion and weep? This child is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him. But when he put them all outside, I love that. They're laughing at Jesus. He kicks them all out. He took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was lying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, Talitha kumi, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. And immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. Aren't you glad when Jesus comes on the scene, he's always got a good ending, and that's a good ending. And so here's the situation. He had to choose to stay with Jesus because this situation went from bad to worse. He's like, Jesus, my little daughter is at the point of death. And now here's Jairus walking with Jesus and he sees somebody coming from his house. I don't know if you don't have to be a parent or if you see someone coming to you and there's a look on their face and you're like, uh-oh. Can you imagine the panic? And he steps up and goes, shakes his head. Your daughter's dead. No. And then they urged him, no need to trouble Jesus. Don't bother with Jesus. You need to come on right now. Your daughter's dead. And boy, as a parent, can you imagine that? As a loved one, can you imagine that? And Jairus to stay with Jesus, and Jesus immediately spoke to the situation. He immediately spoke. When Jesus does something quickly, it's important. He spoke to him and he said, don't be afraid, only believe. Now, there's another translation that I think I like even better. The literal translation is, don't be afraid, keep on believing. See, a lot of times when we have feelings of fear and we're thinking, oh, I'm afraid. And listen, Jesus was totally fair. If he looked at Jairus and said, just don't be afraid, Jairus. Jairus could look back at Jesus and go, are you serious? Are you serious? My daughter just died. But Jesus is fair. He didn't ask Jairus to do something he couldn't do. He said, Jairus, you're going to have to resist the fear and keep believing what you said, that if I lay my hands on your daughter, she will be healed and she will live. You're going to have to keep on believing. And Jairus kept on believing. And I imagine he probably had feelings just raging all in him, but he is with Jesus and he is going to see this thing through. And then they get to the house and now you've got cultural pressure. There's already the pressure of people saying, leave Jesus. And then there's the pressure of the bad report, the fear saying, leave Jesus, run to the house, see your daughter, comfort your wife. And then you get to the house and there is a tumult. A tumult is like our hallways on a busy Sunday. It's just like just a bunch of people. And culturally, these were paid mourners. In the Jewish culture, when someone died, the more important they were, the more mourners would show up. I mean, you could Google mourning companies and you could get Mornings Are Us, Mourning to Mourning, you know, Bad Mourning. And so you hire one of those companies. And they come in, they probably hire a lot of loud people, and they come in like, oh, where's the dead person? There they are. Ah! And they just mourn. They're paid to do it. And Jesus comes in and says, why y'all making all this fuss? She's not dead, she's sleeping. And they ridiculed him. They went from mourning to scorning really quick. And then Jesus starts kicking them out. Now, you know, when Jesus is kicking them out, he didn't hire them. You know, they're looking over Jairus and going, Jairus, you want us to leave? This guy's crazy. You want us to leave? And Jairus is probably just standing there like, I'm staying with Jesus. I'm staying with Jesus. You're going to have to go. I am staying with Jesus. And people are probably walking out going, I don't know who that Jairus think he is, but he's got no mourners and there's nobody around here. And I don't know why he kicked us out. We better get our payment. And they're walking out the door and he's still with Jesus. And Jesus walks in, looks at that little girl, grabs her by the hand and said, little girl, I say to you, arise. And she is up and she is healed and she is well. And they're all amazed and so glad they stayed. Jesus, when he looked at Jairus and said, don't be afraid. Keep on believing. There's an answer. We have an answer for anxiety. Guys, do you know that over the last few years, the amount of therapy, the amount of medication, the amount of awareness of mental health and all those things, all of these things. And listen, I am for therapists. There was the therapist that talked my daughter off the ledge. But with all that therapy and all that awareness, all that medication, why aren't we making a dent in the anxiety in our young people and in America? Why aren't we making a dent? And it's about time the church stands up and goes, if you don't have, we've got some answers, we can help you. We can be a part of this. We can be involved in this. It always comes up. People say, well, Alan, you know, should I just stop talking to my therapist? Should I stop taking the medication? If you have to ask me the question, the answer is no. You keep doing anything that gives you help, but don't keep God out of it. Here's what we can learn about answering anxiety. Bring God into your situation. Bring him in. Well, I'm going to a therapist. Bring God in. Listen, a therapist is not going to stop God from moving in your life. So you do what helps you. But here's one of the first things you can do. You can seek the Lord. You can seek the Lord. What do you mean seek the Lord? Well, you know how to seek. You ever look for a vehicle? Don't tell me you don't get on the internet. Internet, I love the internet for seeking. Because you get on the internet and you can read reviews. And you can read all kinds of stars. And everyone, yeah, I'm the 4-star, 5-star. I never pay attention to 1-star people. They are bitter, angry people. But you read those reviews and you just start looking and you start seeking. So how do I seek for God? I can't see him. No, but you can read his word and you can talk to him. So listen, you don't have to say, do I need to quit my job and seek God? No, no, no. Do not quit your job and seek God. But there, listen, God said this. Look at this in Hebrews 6. This is a promise. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. God, he who comes to God must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Actually, that word diligently is in italics. He's a rewarder of those who seek him. He can reward you with his peace. He can reward you with his grace. He can reward you with his strength. He is the rewarder. You seek, he rewards. You seek, you find. And you can come before him and say, Lord, I need help. I need help in this. and he will help you. Here's the second one. I listed these this way because I wanted you to see the progress. This is what Jairus did. Acknowledge the Lord as greater than you. You say, well, come on, Alan, that's a duh. Duh. The Lord is greater than me. Duh. I know that. We know that. Do we act like that? Because if we acted like that, we just wouldn't go about our entire day acting like he doesn't exist. But if we begin to say, Lord, I know you are smarter than I am. You are stronger than I am. You are more powerful than I am. You have answers when I do not have answers. You have wisdom when I do not have wisdom. I acknowledge you as my God. You are greater than me. And what you're doing when you do that is you're acknowledging and you're humble. That's humble. That's what Jairus did. He fell at his feet. That's what we do when we come before the Lord and say, Lord, I acknowledge you. You're greater than me. Peter said this. This is the same Peter that walked with Jesus. He said, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Did you catch that? If you'll humble yourself. Some people think it's their job to humble other people. It is not your job to humble anybody else. It's not my job to humble you. We humble ourselves. That's a heart thing. So we come before the Lord. We say, Lord, I acknowledge you. You are greater. And the Bible said he can exalt you in due time. In other words, he can exalt you above the anxiety and the fear. You ever been in line and you're standing in line? It's a long line. And all of a sudden, someone that you know, maybe an authority, comes out and goes, hey, come on up here. And it's a long line. You're like, man, you're like, yeah, come on up. So you just walk past all those people who are staring daggers at you. And you skip that long line. You just got exalted. Listen, and that's what can happen. You're just talking to the Lord. You're humbling yourself. And the Lord's like, come on, come on. And you walk past, and there's a lot of people in anxiety and fear. And they're like, where are you going? I'm going with the Lord because he can exalt me. I don't have to live in this anxiety and fear. I don't have to live this way all my life. He can exalt me in due time, casting all my care upon him because he cares for me. That means I'm saying, Lord, some people say, Alan, I'm anxious and I don't even know what I'm anxious about. Well, tell that to the Lord. Say, Lord, I don't even know it, but it's bothering me. But I know you care for me and I give it to you. Here's the third one. Express your confidence that the Lord is your answer. Now, this is good. You ever heard this? Ever heard people say this? Well, I believe it when I see it. You know, the kingdom of God operates differently. The kingdom of God says, I believe it, then I'll see it. And so what we begin to do is we begin to express confidence that the Lord can help us. Lord, thank you. In the middle of this thing, thank you that you can help. Guys, sometimes we have no idea what we're going to do. We have no idea what the answer is. But we can thank God that he will help us. In 1 Corinthians 15:57, I love this. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus defeated death. He defeated fear. He defeated anxiety. He defeated depression. He defeated all the darkness that's in this world. And he gives us his victory. When we made him our Lord, we got his victory. You may not feel like it. It may not look like it. You may look like the very last thing in it. But before you see it, you can begin to go, Lord, I want to thank you for victory over anxiety and fear in my life, that I don't have to live that way. And that's such a blessing. Listen, if you don't get anything else this morning, get this. Anxiety and fear don't have to be a part of your future. Here's the second thing. Stay with the Lord. Keep on believing. Man, there's all kinds of things that pull us away. I'm going to keep believing that the Lord can help me. I'm going to keep believing he's strong. Here's the first word. Don't beg the Lord to help you. Don't beg. If you love someone, do you want them to beg you? No. You want your children to go, please, Daddy, please, can I have a morsel of food from the table? Just a morsel, Dad. I just want, if I was standing here and Joy walked up to me and y'all are talking, and Joy goes, Alan, please. Please take me out to lunch. I do not want to cook. Please. Please. Oh, please. Please, Alan. Please. 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 You would look at me like, I know you women would be looking like, you're a dog. Well, you are a dog. No one likes someone to beg. And the Lord, we're His children. He doesn't want us begging. We just can cast our care upon Him. We can thank Him that He loves us. Don't beg. Don't go over and over again. Please God, please God, please God. It's not going to change anything. Thank Him before you beg Him. Please don't beg. Here's the second one. Don't talk about your anxiety. Answer it. Okay, now let's go right here. Because anytime you start talking about getting rid of anxiety and fear, immediately people get angry at preachers. They're like, you don't know, preacher. You have no idea what you're talking. You don't know what I'm dealing with. And you're exactly right. I do not know what you're dealing with. And you don't know my history either. You don't know that my mother was institutionalized for a brief period of time because she had a nervous breakdown, and that anxiety and depression were the fabric of my household. You don't know that I dealt with depression and I dealt with anxiety attacks that almost cost me a good job I had when I came back to Texas. You don't know what I have done, but I have been there and I have seen anxiety and I have seen fear. But the one thing that held me was the belief that this was not God's plan for my life, and somehow, some way, I was going to come through this. And if you believe that, then instead of owning anxiety, you begin to resist it. Instead of calling it my disorder, my thing, you start to call a disorder the anxiety, because it does not belong to you. It's not yours. Fight back. Don't own it. Don't. It's my anxiety. It's mine. It's mine. So, well, what am I going to say? Say this. He Himself, Jesus, has said, I will never leave you or forsake you, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Please, if you're going to say something, don't keep owning the anxiety. Don't keep talking about how bad it is. Begin to say, Lord, I want to thank you. You are my helper. You will never leave me. You will never forsake me. You are helping me. I am coming through this. Listen, give God something to work with. Give Him words to work with that work. Say, Lord, I don't know how in the world. This has been in my family for generations, but I believe it stops right now in Jesus' name, and I'm not going to take it any further. You got to have a little bit of in you. I don't know if you can translate that, but as you ought to walk around all day going, Here's the last one, and this is interesting. Don't respond to cultural pressure. We've been cultural pressure. Well, right now, everybody's got problems. Oh, Alan, everyone, if you say, man, I've been dealing with anxiety, everyone's like, oh, yeah, join the club. Oh, my gosh, yes. Oh, yeah. Man, my cousin got it so bad he couldn't even get out of bed. Oh, yeah, I got it. I got it. So you start talking that, and everyone's going to jump on board. They will mourn with you. But if you tell them, you know, I've dealt with anxiety, but I believe the Lord is helping me. I'm going to come through this. They will go from mourning to scorning. So don't be surprised if they look at you and go, oh, well, who do you think you are? Someone that's trusting God to get some help. That's who I am. I got on a plane one time. I was going to North Carolina a few years ago. And my parents were still alive then. I had to move them. I sat down beside a guy. He had a UNC sweatshirt. So we started talking. And we just, a friendly guy, we're having a great conversation. He was amazed to find out that I was a pastor, kind of like a real person. And we were just having this conversation. And he mentioned that he was really upset because he just left a friend of his who had, like, cancer. So I shared with him my story of how Joy had acute chronic pancreatitis, and how it could have been deadly. If she'd have had an attack, it could have killed her, and how the Lord healed her, and she was well and strong, and we were pastoring a church. He looked at me, he said, I'm sorry, but I just can't believe that. And, you know, I thought, he didn't know the Lord. So I didn't blast him. I didn't look at him and go, well, brother, you're going to hell. That is not, that doesn't work. So I just looked at him, I said, well, it really doesn't matter what you believe. I'm the man with the healed wife. And now, I didn't say it unkind. I didn't say it. Listen, it's by the grace of God that my wife received healing. And I am so appreciative of that. But, you know, interestingly enough, he didn't balk. He stopped. He thought, well, that's right. And afterwards, he kept finding me. I go in the airport. He keeps going to talk to me. He keeps going to find me. And so, you know, I shared as much as I could with the Lord with him. But the bottom line is, culture will put pressure on you. But you don't have to. You don't have to. Listen, culture will tell you, you got to have this. You're going to have this for the rest of your life. You'll never get free from it. And this is where we have to say, you know, I'm just going to choose to believe something else. I'm going to stay with the Lord. I'm going to keep on believing. Let me tell you another joy snake story, and I'll close. There's only one person that hates snakes more than I do, and that's my wife. She hates snakes. She's walking along the waterway one day, and she loved to walk the waterway, and she would walk, and she would take a scripture, and she would just kind of meditate and just talk to the Lord. And as she looked up on the sidewalk, and there was a baby copperhead raised up to strike. You know, the babies are more venomous than the big ones. I don't like them in any size, but he raised up to strike. She's looking around. There's nothing to kill him with. So she went to find a ranger. She said she found a ranger. He looked like an older guy sitting down eating an apple. She said, there's a copperhead over here on the sidewalk, and they were building a children's area. There's going to be a children's festival coming. And Joy did not want that snake slithering into a bunch of kids. And so Ranger gets up, keeps biting his apple, and he spots it. He goes, oh, there it is. And Joy said, he saw it before I did. He walks over, he looks around, he said, well, I don't see anything to kill it with. Joy said, no. So he takes a big bite of his apple, takes his tennis shoe, stomps on that thing, and just grinds it in the ground, kills it dead. Joy was impressed. Said he never stopped eating his apple. She walked on, and then she turned around. She walked back. She said, I've never seen anybody do that. You just kept eating your apple, and you killed that snake. So what did he do? He put his arm around her. He said, you know, as believers, our faith has to be stronger than our fears. Joy said, that message just struck her. She looked over, she said, Alan, I tried to read his name badge and it was fuzzy. She stepped back, she said, are you an angel? This is what he did. Now listen, guys, listen. People have said that to Joy for years. They said she used to go to the hospital and she would come in the hospital and people are like, oh, are you an angel? Joy's like, no, I'm not an angel. You've been watching Touched by an Angel. I am not an angel. By the way, no one's ever accused me of being an angel at all. But here's the deal. The Bible said, entertain strangers, for some have entertained angels unaware. Angels come with messages. And when this guy goes, I don't know, but his message still rings true. Our faith can be stronger than our fears. Yes, we deal with fear. Yes, we deal with the feelings of anxiety. But we can have a faith with God that's stronger than the fear that has dominated us. I love that message. Joy never found that ranger again. She looked for him. Say, was it an angel? I don't know, but he had a great message. That was a great word. And that's a great word for you today. If you don't hear anything, hear this. Maybe fear and anxiety do not have to dominate my life. And your Lord would say, yeah, that's true. Would you bow your head for a moment? With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here this morning and you say, you know what, Alan, I don't even know if I really have a relationship with the Lord. I'm not sure. Or you say, I had a relationship at one time and life happened and I just simply got away. And I know I've been away from God, but I don't want to be away from God. I want to come to Him. We're going to say a prayer. I'm not going to have you stand up. I'm not going to have you come to the front. If you're online, this prayer's for you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Please, no one moving around. But if that's you this morning, you say, Alan, I don't know where I stand with the Lord. I want to be sure. I want to come back. Would you pray for me? Shoot your hand up real quick across the auditorium. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Wonderful. Takes a lot of courage to do that. But that's such a good move. We're going to say a prayer. If you didn't lift your hand, you wanted to jump in on this prayer, you can say this prayer. We're going to join you as a church family. If you're online and you're watching this, You can pray this prayer. If you're by yourself, pray it out loud. If you're with other people, pray it quietly. Say, "Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you." No head still bowed just for a moment. Heavenly Father, I pray this morning for those people who have just felt so long bound by fear and anxiety and felt like there is no hope and no way out. And Lord, I just ask that you would bring words back, that you would bring sayings back, that you would shine a light, your light of hope, your light of the gospel into their life, that they realize things can be different. I thank you, Father, for those of us who have been dealing with it and resisting. And I thank you that we're going to keep on resisting and keep on believing and keep on staying with you. Thank you that your kingdom is a kingdom of peace and joy and love, and we're your children. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.